Hello, I'm Gail Gibson, accredited master coach, speaker, author, and podcaster. Welcome to my podcast, The Can Do Way. My guests from across the globe have can-do stories of growth, resilience, and success to share. Tune in and be inspired by these individuals who have developed a strong can-do approach. Each one of their stories is unique. Each one of their stories has a key message. Hello, in this episode, I'm talking to Ambika Devi, author, astrologer, meditation Jedi, and creative sexagenarian. Now, Ambika is on a peace mission to help people realize their true nature so that they can step out of the churning river of thoughts and activity of the mind, stop wearing insane schedules like badges of honor, and begin their days reinforced with the calmness a meditation practice brings. Meditating since the age of six, with 40 plus years of teaching experience, thousands of hours of study, and having taught over 19,000 people the art of meditation, she gives you five clear steps that lead you directly into a deep state of meditation. She is a scholar of yoga with expert knowledge in the philosophy and teachings of the Far Eastern mystery schools. In 2012, Ambika received a master's degree from the Hindu University in the teachings of yoga and meditation. Her internationally best-selling and award-winning books delight readers with easy-to-comprehend yogic philosophy embedded in stories and poems. Welcome to the show today, Ambika.
Thank you so much, Gail. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. And thank you, everybody who's listening.
Wonderful. So first, can we take a short walk through your life? If you can give us a glimpse of your background and how you arrived at helping people realize and unleash their tuition.
Well, it began for me with sitting quietly still at the age of six. So I went to a Quaker school and we were taught on Wednesday mornings to sit quietly with the rest of the school. And that was meditation. It wasn't called meditation. The Quakers call it meeting for worship. But for me, that was the initial introduction. And then at age nine, my mother took me with her to yoga class. And from the very first class, where I was lying in the resting pose called Shavasana at the end of the class, I remember the most amazing sensation of just drifting, being fully aware, feeling like the mind was awake, but it was quiet. There was no chatter and the body was just free. It had a floating feeling, but a settling, grounded feeling all at the same time. And I was hooked. Then more happened as I studied and then began to learn how to teach. And I always, because I continued on in the same education with the Quaker learning system, I always knew that those Wednesday mornings were important. And there were other things that I really tuned into from my childhood and those years of learning in school, like singing. The whole school sang together on Tuesday mornings. And then later in life, when I began to study and live at an ashram, I realized we're doing the same thing every day. We're sitting quietly, we're chanting. And also back then in school, we all had jobs. We did service to the community. It could have been cleaning or secretarial type work, or one year I worked in the library and learned to be a librarian. So all of these things contributed to, I think if you start to look at these influences from my childhood, you'll see how they all turn up. Being a librarian, hello, I'm a writer and a publisher of books. So I was also raised by a mom who just really was open to trying things out. She never forced anything on me, and I could bring ideas and things to her and she would experience them and try them too. So I'm very, very grateful for having landed in that family.
I think that's a beautiful start, you know, that thread of that can-do mindset, that can-do belief was in your mother, and she has enabled you to develop that in your life as well. You said with the, and I love the story you shared about your first experience at the age of six in your Quaker education of just sitting quietly. And, you know, it's so, so important. And it's obviously sitting quietly, breathing and meditation has become your life. You have made it your life. You have taken it to other people, taught it, listened, learned, kept upskilling yourself as well. So along that journey and along your life journey, would you say that you've faced any challenges in the work that you've been doing, or have you done anything else in your life apart from being surrounded by this type of lifestyle that you now deliver all the time?
Most definitely. I did have a tough English teacher in ninth grade, and she was not happy with the fact that I was really challenged with spelling. And that also affected my math class with another teacher. And she was harsh. She told me I would never amount to anything because I couldn't spell. Now, back then, we didn't have computers and we didn't have spell checkers. And I mean, my first typewriter didn't have a motor, you know? It had cranks. It was my mom's, but I loved it. And I used it. That's how I learned. And I didn't really listen to that because I have, and I already had, a vocabulary that was growing constantly because of my reading, and I loved books. So I'm really glad she didn't turn me all the way off, you know? And I think the reason why it didn't was because of my situation in math. My math teacher marked me wrong on every test because of my spelling. And I had to go to summer school. And my mother hired the head of the math department to tutor me so I could get it done more quickly. And after the first session, he said, "Can you bring your mom in next week and bring all of your tests, everything that you got marked wrong on?" And he said, he looked at them and he looked at the math and said, "These are all correct. You should have gotten an A, not failed." And so he got rid of the old grade, changed it. And I would imagine he reprimanded the math teacher about it because he was rough on me the rest of my time at that school. Mm-hmm. So he didn't really like that. But again, I mean, I think that could have crushed a lot of people. And I think it's because my mom used to say to me, you know, she would let me fail. She would let me hurt myself. You know, she wasn't overprotective. She would let me fall down emotionally and physically. And she would also tell me that I was like a cat and I would land on my feet. So she gave me encouragement and belief in myself. And I try to give that to my students. And I always to my clients to find their strengths and their high points so that they can get rid of those old programs and conversations that may have happened in their lives so that they can really find their beauty and sparkle and so that they can feel good about themselves and be happy.
I love that, turning those strengths into what it is that makes you as a person. So you told the story there, Ambika, about the spelling and math and that they were not strengths of yours at that time.
But spelling wasn't. Math was. I mean, I had gotten an A in math.
But how did you turn the spelling? Wrong. Sorry.
Oh, well, the spelling? Computers, auto-check.
Okay.
So I wonder, okay, my spelling has greatly improved. Sure, I can type along. I type super fast. So if the faster you type, the more chance you have of making mistakes. But I can see them. I think from patterning, the auto checkers have taught me to spell, you know. And I did notice when I studied Spanish that spelling in Spanish was easier, and it's because of pronunciation and the way the words are pronounced.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So perhaps I think one of the problems that contributed to my spelling challenge was that in second grade, I was a safety, helped people cross the street.
Mm-hmm.
And in that school, the kids did that. And I used to miss the spelling part of my second grade class because I was mm-hmm. crossing guard that day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that could have been part of it, but who knows? Maybe if I had attended all of those lessons, I would have still gone through the same patterns mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and situations with these other teachers.
But you made it a strength because you've gone on to write best-selling and award-winning books. So mm-hmm. in that time, you said that, yeah, the spell check and auto checker, that really helped you to write correctly. What was mm-hmm. it like for you while you were writing then? Is it something now that you feel that you really have mastered and that the flow comes through as you were sharing about patterning and such the like?
Mm. Well, writing has always been a part of me. I did always write poetry and lyrics for songs and stories. I loved writing stories, and I still do. So all of that has really just continued. My first book is a novel, and that took 13 years from the mm-hmm. day I decided I'm going to turn this bit of writing into something.
Yeah.
It takes time. And so when I'm talking to writers or coaching a writer, I always let them know that the writing, the book, it has its own time and space. You know, I think it's great to do exercises where you have a deadline, like the practice of maybe committing to a blog and getting yourself to really meet it. And I did that for years. I wrote articles. I wrote horoscopes and astrology for newspapers. And so that deadline, and I really learned to give myself an assignment, get it done on time. And also working with great editors, that greatly improved my spelling and grammar. Editing is a whole different mm-hmm. art than yes. creative writing. So being mm-hmm. a creative writer, you can just dictate to your phone now. You know, there's nothing stopping you from creating something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You won through that challenge in your life. And are you writing anything at the moment? Is there a book in the wings?
There is a book in the wings, mm-hmm. and it is going to be my seventh book.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah. My sixth is actually, the fifth and sixth are the same book, but there's a Spanish version.
Okay.
So I have it's my first Spanish book. Mm-hmm. That one is a short, it's an ebook, and it's about the goddess in mythology. So cross-comparing goddess in a variety of mythologies mm-hmm. and my experience.
Fantastic.
This new book is poetry, short story, flash fiction, and it's all about love and has some history and mythology in it about Cupid and Eros, which are pretty much the same being, mm-hmm. but a little bit about Far Eastern version, which is called Kama Devi.
Okay.
And so I wove a little bit of that in. And always in all of my books, there's me. Even in my fictional characters, I'll take stories from my life and,
of course.
Mm-hmm. you know, from people that I grew up with.
Beautiful, beautiful. They're the ones that are right there in front of us, aren't they? And they're the ones we can turn into something special.
So many good stories
for our audience. Yes.
If you just start talking about your family, you have plenty of fictional characters.
Of course, of course, because we're all very different. We have brothers and sisters. Well, those of us that have brothers and sisters, and we've all got different personalities, even though we come from the same parents. I think I could write a few books about my family as well. It's just one of those things, isn't it? So
I think it's a great thing too, to just take something and fictionalize it and blow it up a little bit more. I think it's a great way to kind of counsel and process things out yourself. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also, I'm involved in a writer's group.
Okay.
And we get together every month and we write together on a Saturday and then quarterly for an entire weekend. And during those quarterly sessions, I lead a guided meditation on Friday night, and then we write on Saturday and Sunday. And so I try to infuse and instill creativity and deep restful sleep, because it can be a lot, as you know. I think everybody knows from, you know, being in Zoom meetings and transitioning to what's now being called hybrid work.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are doing part and part, but I actually decided to go into cyberspace years ago.
Same.
And so I could work from home, you know. Yes. It just, it's such a luxury to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although it can be isolating.
That is true as well. There's pros and cons for all of it, isn't there? And perhaps that term hybrid is what we all need. It's a mixture, and so that we have connection when we need it, and that inspiration and the collaboration. And then we can also have our solo time, which I think is so vital to many people, and it all links to whether we are introverts, extroverts, and or ambiverts, and we sit somewhere in the middle. And I think it what it can do is cater for all different learning styles, I think, going forward, and people being at their productive best as well. So perhaps what's happened in the world has highlighted this, and it's going to allow a new sense of working to go forward. But if I can just come back to you talking about your writing group that you're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
For a brand new writer, somebody who has never written before and they really have a burning desire to capture a story that's in their head and put it onto paper, what is one of the first things that you would say you need to do to start that dedication process to be able to write on a regular basis?
Well, I know there are plenty of writing coaches out there that will tell you it has to be the same time every day, you know, and you have to make a commitment and just sit there, you know, with your journal or however you're, if it's your keyboard, wherever you're doing your writing.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to admit to you, Gail, and to your listeners that is not my style.
Mm-hmm.
And, my dear friend who runs the writing group, her name is Rusty Lehe. She is so regimented that way. And she's a super morning person. I'm a night person. And right there, there's a difference. I am the kind of writer that if I get an idea, I might pick up my phone. I think a big key, so some of the tools or secrets maybe that I use are, I use an app, and I'm not getting paid for this to talk about the apps, but I use an app called Evernote.
Yes.
And that way, if I write in my phone, it's automatically in my computer.
Yes.
I don't have to fuss around. And it's great because there's all kinds of things you can do with it, and it's easy to find your stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I'm at the writer's group, I often write in a journal by hand with a pen. And then, okay, so then how do I get into my computer? I use another app called Otter. And so during the sessions, we share what we write.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll put Otter on. It will take dictation. And then I can take the copy from there and edit it down later. So that's another thing is I feel it's more organic when you're writing with a pen in a journal.
Mm-hmm.
There's something different about how you write. If I'm writing academic curriculum, I can whip it out on the computer, mm-hmm. no problem. But mm-hmm. when it comes to poetry and some of the fiction of building a character or a story, it's quite magical to sit down with my journal and it's as if my hand is just writing it. Mm-hmm. The way we work in the writer's group, Gail, is we have writing prompts. So Rusty brings to the group quotes and she knows what we're all working on. So she's looking for quotes okay. to kind of trigger us. Mm-hmm. She's mm-hmm. incredible. She's really good at what she does. And so one day I took a little snippet from a quote and I went over to look at some old photographs because I was looking for a photograph that I knew I had in a particular album to trigger a story I wanted to tell. And as I'm flipping through the album, all of a sudden another idea came up and I was sitting there on the floor and I started writing and the chime went and it was time to get back together. I'm still writing. I couldn't stop. It was amazing.
You're so, in flow.
You know, yes. it went from, you know, writing prompt, photograph idea, flip mm-hmm. through an album, boom. So I think the key is go with it. You know, when the muse is there, you know, dance along with it because it's incredible. And then don't get mad at yourself if you go through a dry spell, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. If it's a personal deadline, ease up on yourself. If you're writing for a newspaper, you don't have any choice.
Yes. It has to be in by 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
So
yes.
There is that. I think there's that muscle that I built so many mm-hmm. years ago mm-hmm. that I just can. If I don't have what I wanted completed by a certain point, I can sit down and make it happen. But I know that not everybody can do that.
Thank you so much. I think that will really help people who are listening who may be in that stage right now and they're just on the edge and they're just thinking, I want to start, but I just don't know how to keep it going. So, and I love the fact that you said as well, Bikar, that you have to find your own way of doing it. So you have to find your own route to the flow that can happen where the magic mm-hmm. comes alive. And there will be countless people telling you to do it this way, that way, this way. But when you find what works for you and when you find that creativity that is stimulated from, as you said, from Rusty's group perhaps, or just once you're in flow, go with it and enjoy that time. And if it doesn't work the next day, you know, it's okay. I think that is that, you know, can-do drive, isn't it?
You have to remember that if you put a word down, you wrote something.
Yes.
One thing, and I have to give this back to Rusty. One thing that she has encouraged the group to do, and I have to admit, I didn't used to do it exactly the way she instructs, but I would celebrate if I completed something. But when we have these writing prompt sessions, mm-hmm. you know, it's trusting what's coming out of you is super important. Just trust. Just write it. You can edit it later.
Exactly.
Just write. Yes. Don't edit while you write.
No, okay? No, because you'd be there all day.
Not edit while you write. If you're a speller like me, who cares? As long as you can read it later, it doesn't matter. And then when you're done and you've written something, then write "well done" and your name. You know, praise yourself.
Fantastic.
for doing it, and go and do something nice for yourself. Make yourself a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. Go spend some time outside in the sunshine.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yes. Be kind to yourself. Give yourself compassion. And it's a reward for what you have done and that you have persevered and got your creativity down. Okay. So we move on to, you know, you're somebody who has got a very strong positive mindset. You use your meditation and your yoga and your lifetime of being able to go deeply within yourself. And I love the fact that in your introduction, when you sent it through to me, you said one of your favorite times is to stuff a backpack with coloured pens, a journal, a Kindle, a passport, and a deck of tarot cards. So what is it, and how do you continue to drive that positive mindset to look after your own well-being and stay at your personal best, Ambika?
Well, the Kindle is a moving library, so that's, you know, anything you could want in there. A journal so I can create. And my journals are always blank pages. I don't like lines because mm-hmm. I might want to draw. Mm-hmm. So I draw and write. Tarot has been with me since I was a little kid. And for me, it triggers thought. You know, it triggers some ideas. They're beautiful paintings. Mm-hmm. And the more you dive into it and learn about it, the more it can trigger ideas and creativity. I mean, what a cool idea. Pull a card, write a story, let it trigger you, you know, why not? Mm-hmm. And it's just helps us, you know, helps me get in touch with the unseen world and the mm-hmm. energy around me and the possibilities. And so, yes, for years I've been saying that because, and it's true. If I head out on a journey, those are always in my day pack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And where are you going to be traveling to when the world reopens? Is there somewhere special that you want to be going to?
You know, I'm really kind of waiting. I'm not one of the people. Look, I've traveled a lot. Mm-hmm. I've been to 30 countries. Yeah. So I do love to travel, but I also respect what's going on, and I don't have the need. I just mm-hmm. have taken the cue from nature to sit tight and work on projects. And so I produced a few audiobook versions of books that I had, and now, you know, working on this new project, I finished a bunch of curriculum that I had been writing and published that. So I'm perfectly happy, but where would I like to go? I definitely would like to go to Asia, and the Great Wall is on my list of what I'd like to do. Mm-hmm. See, there are things in different places in Asia, not just China, but Japan also. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I love the UK, and I spent 3 weeks in Scotland on one of my more recent trips mm-hmm. before we had to stop traveling. I didn't get enough. And so I want to go back and explore even more of Scotland. I've not been to Ireland and Wales, so I mm-hmm. want to go there, and definitely back to England. I just love the culture, the museums, and the theater. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love old architecture. There's places in the U.S. too. That I haven't been to. Mm-hmm. In the Carolinas, some of the areas like Charleston. I mean, I've driven through most of the states in the United States, mm-hmm. but there's so much to see. Even if I've driven through one, I may not have been to everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think also seeing autumn leaves, because mm-hmm. I live here in a jungly climate. And so I used to make an effort to go to a cooler climate, see some leaves, or wear a sweater. That may not sound so exciting to you, but
no, it does.
Lived in the heat you know, for a long, long time. I was in the desert for 10 years and then mm-hmm. 14 here. So just experiencing more cultures, meeting more people, mm-hmm. Seeing more art.
Lovely.
Definitely.
Lovely. Yes, the world is still there. But as you say, I love the fact that you also were very positive by saying you listen to nature, and you've spent this time repurposing some of your content so that you mm-hmm. are focusing on right now, because we know that outside of ourselves, we are limited by being able to live the lives that we lived previously and jump on planes and as you've shared, visit all those wonderful places that you described. But we can travel to those points in our life that are right there in front of us, and we can mm-hmm. actually master them and make the most of those right now. And I think I've spoken to several guests, and I know in myself that I've taken this same approach during this time, because the world is what it is right now, and we are still challenged as humanity to be able to move into whatever will come next. But what's right in front of us is the only thing that really does matter right now. And so if we can focus on that, and we can uplift ourselves and bring joy to others through the work that we do, then that is the best that we can offer right now. So thank you for sharing that as well.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
So we've come to the time then, Ambikar, that could you share with my listeners three can-do tips? They may be life tips that you use, or something to inspire them to maybe think a bit differently, or to take some action so that they can become the best person they can be.
What I want you to do, first of all, is look in the mirror, into your own eyes, say your name, and tell yourself you love you. Mm-hmm. Please start with that. Then, if there's something that's challenging you, I want you to try and conjure up the feelings or sensations of somebody who really believed in you. You know, maybe it was a teacher, maybe it was somebody else's mom or dad or sibling, but somebody in your life that really encouraged you. I believe we all have somebody. Mm-hmm. And imagine that they're cheering you on. And think about the things that they used to tell you about you. If you can't conjure that up, that's okay. But this, what I'm going to ask you, may push your boundary a little bit. But what I want you to do is come up with a list, let's say 10 people, more the better, and write to them and ask them what they like or love about you. And tell them it's for an assignment. So you can blame it on me. And I want you to really look at that and see if you see any patterns. And then put it on the wall where you can see it. Write it in color and look at it. That is going to help a lot. And then if there's a creative project, or it doesn't even have to be a project, a creative outlet that you have been wanting to get into or back into, then get the tools and the things that it takes to do that. And block out time in your schedule. Block out more time in your schedule. Actually, I love the digital calendars because mm-hmm. you can block out off time. Yes. You can remind yourself to get a glass of water. You can say, get up and walk for 5 minutes mm-hmm. and all sorts of things. And you can program in things like, I know Gail, you mentioned affirmations earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, why not write in your calendar instead of go for a walk or walk? Why not walk because I like to be healthy? Make mm-hmm. that what mm-hmm. pops up on your screen.
Yes.
Or little sayings and phrases that speak to you. Mm-hmm. What I say to me may not work for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I write in mine, walk to be healthy and happy. That's yes. that works for me, but that might not be your happy place. That mm-hmm. might not feel right. Or go out and drink some sunshine and make these little reminders. Block out time for you to eat so you're not rushing or eating at a desk. Give yourself an hour if you can, mm-hmm. not a half hour.
Yes.
Give yourself more time. If there's anything I've learned since we've been locked down and now going through all these transitions mm-hmm. is I am just so grateful for being able to spend more time doing nothing mm-hmm. or reading a book. Mm-hmm. And I call that me time in my calendar, and I'll just write me time, you know, and block it out. So when things start to fill up in your schedule, block out more time around it so you can really enjoy mm-hmm. and savor it. And then I think that's going to help you start to feel better in your skin, sleep more deeply, and just feel a much greater level of happiness.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. That's a wonderful exercise for the listeners to take away, to look in the mirror and really think about those people that believed in them and write to them. I love that idea. And then put that up somewhere there where you can see. So that will help you, as you talked earlier on this call, about the work that you do and helping people to play to their strengths, bring out those strengths, because when someone empowers you by the words that they share about you, that can be your go-to to actually inspire you or push you a bit further to say, you know what, that person believed in me, I can do this, I can mm-hmm. take that next step, I can achieve this goal that I'm working on, I can write this book, whatever it might be. But it's those, and then turning those affirmations into affirmations with purpose. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing.
Sure. My pleasure. I think also just, I'd like to add one little bonus bit, if okay. I may, Gail.
Sure.
We all have times in our lives where we've looked in our closet and there's been something in there that just didn't work anymore. And then we had, you know, Marie Kondo teach us, you know, yes. you no longer spark joy. Thank you for your service. Guess what, everybody? You can do that with people in situations mm-hmm. too. So I want you to remember that you're allowed to say, this no longer sparks joy in me. Thank you so much. Yes. But I'm moving on.
Brilliant. Brilliant. For fourth tip, the bonus tip, which is so vital. And my final question for you then is, why do you feel a can-do attitude is essential in life?
The mind is something that we learn so much about as meditators. And where the thoughts are focused, energy follows. Energy will follow in that direction. So if you catch yourself being negative about yourself or about your situation, I implore you to turn that around, even if you don't believe it at first, but start saying it out loud, because the magic of your own voice is it comes up and out your mouth and back in your own ears. So you are programming yourself. You have no choice but to have a can-do attitude. That's so important.
That's just a beautiful summary. Thank you so much. And I just want to say it's been a delight to talk to you for the last half hour, Ambika, and hear your stories. And I love the fact that you've been meditating since you were 6 years old, and it's become that really strong thread throughout your life. And you have helped so many people to master the art themselves, but you have such a calming and intentional way in telling your story. And I think I'm sure it's been quite a revelation to my listeners as well. So they will take away some of those fantastic tips that you have shared, and looking forward to hearing more about your upcoming title and for more books for people to read. About your creativity and your inspiration. So thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much, Gail. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Do you live and breathe a can-do attitude? Have an inspiring perspective, a life-changing experience, or intriguing story to share? Always curious, and with an insatiable appetite for a good yarn, I invite you to be my guest. Do get in touch via my website, gailmgibson.com. The Can Do Way podcast, refreshing, positive, and real.